Welcome to today's reading of the Midland Reporter Telegram and the Odessa American, read by volunteers and staff. You can hear this program on Recording Library of West Texas Radio and on demand at recordinglibrary.org.
This is Dave, and I'm reading from the Midland Reporter Telegram, Tuesday, August 30th. This is Section A, the front page. The headline reads, A&M, off month for housing. Midland sales down, average price drops, inventory is up. By Stuart Doreen. The housing market in Midland County adjusted in July. The Texas A&M Real Estate Center shows drops in homes sold inside Midland County, total dollar volume, and average price, while showing increases in total homes available at the end of the month and months of inventory. The market showed a 16% drop in homes sold from June to July, 300 to 252, and the fewest homes sold in July inside Midland County since 2018. In terms of dollar volume, the real estate center showed the first month less than $100 million inside Midland County since February, the lowest July dollar volume since 2018, and a 20.7% decrease compared to June. Pricing was down from June, but the average price for a home sold in July was consistent within the last 2 months of July. And the median price of a home sold, $327,000, was better than any July on record and third best since records were kept, January 2011. Many of Midland's streaks related to home sales continued in July. The average price for a home sold in Midland County has topped $300,000 for 47 straight months, a streak that goes back to September 2018. Also, July was the 14th straight month that the median price for a home sold topped $300,000. The median price for a home sold also reached or surpassed $320,000 for the fifth straight month, also a first. The number of homes available, 665, is up from 622 in June, and the most going back to November. The 2.6 months of inventory on the market is also the most going back to November, 2.8. The numbers at the Texas A&M Real Estate Center show a market that is still a seller's market as determined by the price. However, it was by most metrics a momentum killer. Still, most of the largest markets across the state, like Dallas, Collin, Tarrant, Behar, and Travis, showed the same across-the-board movement as Midland. The monthly metrics in Harris County, where Houston resides, reported an increase in homes sold to avoid a similar monthly slump, according to the Real Estate Center. This article is entitled, Report: Midland Apartment Rents Are Still Behind Pre-COVID Levels, by Ben Schaffer. Midland is one of the 9 cities in the U.S. where the rent price remains below its pre-pandemic level, according to a recent study by ApartmentList.com. In March 2020, expensive and highly populated cities began to see more homes vacated and a drop in rent for about a year. Suburban areas saw a rent price drop that was much shorter-lived, followed by price growth acceleration within months, according to the study. From early 2021 until present day, rent prices have grown dramatically all over the country, with year-over-year rent growth peaking at 18%, according to the recent study. In most of the U.S., big cities, small towns, highly populated or not, rents are continuing to increase more rapidly than they ever would before the pandemic. There are 9 U.S. cities, according to Apartment List, where the median rent in July 2022 remains below rent prices prior to the pandemic. In West Texas, those cities are Odessa, -17.9% growth, and Midland, -16.9%. The next closest rent decline was found in Oakland, California, 9.8%. Apartmentlist.com showed in its national rent report in July that the rent for a median two-bedroom apartment in Midland was $963, and that rent growth year over year was 12.1%. In Odessa, rent for a median two-bedroom was $817, and rent growth year over year was 16.1%. This column is called Small Bites, and it is entitled Chef from Andrews Shakes Up West Texas with Latin-Inspired Sushi by J.C. Lewis. Chef Raul Vasquez is hungry for success. The 24-year-old returned to West Texas last year, and while some in the restaurant industry might see that as regression, he has only seen this as an opportunity. The Andrews native graduated from high school in 2016. He remembers how much he loved cooking and watching cooking shows growing up, which has fueled his passion for the kitchen. "I've been cooking since I remember," he said. A memory that stands out is butchering and cooking a calf for my aunt's wedding in El Paso. By tradition, the youngest person had to kill the animal. He was 11 years old when he killed and butchered his first animal. He participated in the entire process of creating a special dish for loved ones. While in high school, he worked at Porter's Thriftway in Andrews. He also started working at Red Oak Kitchen and Cork and Pig Tavern. He worked his way up to assistant kitchen manager while completing a culinary art and food service management degree at Odessa College. "It was a year and a half of constantly grinding," he said. "I would leave Andrews to get to Odessa College for classes, then work at Red Oak Kitchen from 2:30 p.m. to close every day. On weekends, I would work early shifts in the morning with Porter's. I completely fell in love with cooking, even though I was learning the basics." All that work started to pay off when he was asked to open Cork and Pig Tavern Las Colinas in Irving. However, he ended up applying for the best restaurant he knew in Dallas to see if he could make it with the big dogs. He applied at 560 by Wolfgang Puck. "I drove 5 hours to interview or stage, which basically means working for free, and worked for 8.5 hours, he said. "They didn't tell me that I got the job, even though they seemed very impressed, so I left my knives there. I wanted to make sure they had to see me again, even if I didn't get the job. I would have gone back and tried until I got the job." He got the job. Chief Jacob Williamson pushed him harder than he had ever worked in West Texas. Through his mentorship, Vasquez became the first one in and the last one out. Vasquez soon became a sous chef, absolutely obsessed with what he was accomplishing. He was the youngest sous chef and the second Latino to run the restaurant at 20 years old. "The knowledge I gained in the 2 years I worked there was absolutely stellar," Vasquez said. When COVID hit, the restaurant's contract was ending, and the owner was deciding on whether to renovate or start a new restaurant. Vasquez had a month off before he started at CBD Provisions in the Jewel Hotel. After his stint there, he headed across the street to a restaurant called Queso Beso, which was a Tex-Mex restaurant trendy on TikTok. It was an opportunity for him to show Dallas his style and what he had learned during his time. The restaurant location was excelling so much that during his days off, he would go help other locations up their game. "I was pushing in the kitchen, but with more southern comfort," he said. "Wolfgang is very yes chef or no chef, while I started to add please to my asks and developed how I personally run a kitchen." In 2021, he and his fiancée, Jennifer Cuellar, made the decision to move back to West Texas due to some family problems. That move put him back at square one in the Midland Country Club kitchen. Other chefs at the Midland Country Club recognized his talent, but he kept waiting for a promotion to sous chef. At the same time, he wanted to focus more time to his private catering business. Ratengo means Latino in Japanese, which are the two cuisines he specializes in. When he was younger, his cousin piqued his interest in Japanese fare with sake and ramen. From there, his curiosity blossomed. When traveling, he would prioritize eating at Japanese restaurants. Most of his family didn't share the same excitement, though. "I really wanted to create sushi that my family would eat, since they won't eat raw fish," Vasquez says. "That's why I decided to create Latin-inspired sushi. They loved it." His sushi-to-go business has become a cornerstone of his business. He started offering it every Monday starting this August, with favorites being A1 Pastor with Pineapple Pico de Gallo, Carne Asada with Spicy Aioli, Birria with wok-fired peppers, plus shrimp ceviche rolls and poke bowls. During his private dinners, he offers Wagyu skirt steak sushi rolls, which are highly requested. In his menu preparation, he tries to use as much local product as possible, including meat from Midland Meat Company. He is always trying to expand his vendor list. Recently, he also served as the sous chef at Low Street Books, but his time ended when he knew he needed to pursue Rotengo. Vasquez helped Low Street Books set up the kitchen after the business won a grant from the Midland Entrepreneurial Challenge. The restaurant will continue to use pieces of his menu, and he helped the owners find another chef to continue where he left off. A long-time goal of his has been to compete on Food Network. This goal was finally realized on Supermarket Steakout with his appearance during Season 4, Episode 19, now airing on Hulu. The TV show features Chef Alex Guarancelli, who hosts four chefs that square off during a competitive pop-up kitchen outside a grocery store. Each round has a theme, and chefs must assess shoppers as they exit the store and negotiate for their grocery bags. His appearance was delayed due to COVID and the postponement of recording the show. "The experience was everything and more than I expected," he said. "I got to the final round, but ended up with second. Second place makes me so hungry for first place. It fueled my hunger to continue to develop Rotengo." His appearance on Supermarket Steakout will not be the last time he's on TV, he promised. Vasquez wants to foster the type of mentorship he received in Dallas with other local chefs in the area. He has made connections with the chefs at Seance that also worked at Midland Country Club. "I think there is a missing chef culture out here," he said. "Dallas is a huge city, but chefs continue to make connections, and they are all ready to help others succeed. My goal is to do that here. When I open my place, I want it to be the hot spot for the next generation of chefs." The natural next step is to open his own restaurant. "My goal is to push what I'm doing privately to the public," he said. "There is a niche for this type of service. I want to create a more modern, casual experience with table touches, which I believe Midland is ready for." While he is proud of the fact that Andrews is known for steak fingers in the culinary world, he also wants his hometown to be known for more. Vasquez craves a legacy that his hometown can take pride in. This is the Business and Oil page. This article is entitled, "Everyone's an Energy Trader as Bills Hit Sky," by Michael Sasso and Noreen Malik. Bloomberg. Millions of Americans are being forced to bet on power and natural gas prices at a time when even seasoned professionals are unsure where highly volatile markets are headed. For Floyd Stanley, a 66-year-old retired software marketer in Dallas, keeping up with electricity rates is akin to a full-time job. He tracks them in a spreadsheet. Shopping around, he found that prices can swing by as much as 10%, depending on the time of day. "You are being asked to play the market out a year to 3 years, and that is not a comfortable decision," said Stanley, whose home state of Texas has a deregulated electricity market and allows customers to choose from power companies. Stanley recently switched to a different provider and signed a 3-year contract to try to cap his costs, which soared by over 145% in July over the previous year. He's still keeping an eye out on the markets because he wants to get the best plan for his 100-year-old father-in-law come October. With the price of gas, electricity, and heating oil soaring, monthly utility bills have reached records. The surge is sparing no one, but for many Americans who live in states with competitive utility markets, there's the added anxiety of having to figure out whether energy costs will keep rising, by how much, and until when. That's because under so-called customer choice programs that predominate in these states, consumers have the option to go with a variable rate of electric, oil, or natural gas, usually the priciest option, or lock in a fixed rate that comes with a term ranging from 6 months to as many as 5 years. These previously ho-hum decisions are far more nerve-wracking and consequential this year. Wrong-way bets could cost hundreds of dollars or more. It's terrifying. I don't know how to shop either, and I'm grateful to be on the City of Austin's contracts right now, Allison Silverstein, an energy consultant and former advisor to Chairman of the Public Utility Commission of Texas, said on a conference call this month about the effects of energy costs on low-income Texans. Although Europeans are facing a much deeper energy crisis than Americans, soaring home power costs are taking a toll on budgets already strained by decades-high inflation. Some 20 million households across the U.S., about one in six, have fallen behind on their utility bills, the worst the National Energy Assistance Directors Association has ever recorded. Many are facing shutoffs. Until recently, power demand had flattened across much of the nation, driven in part by more efficient light bulbs and appliances. The COVID-19 pandemic exacerbated the slowdown, idling factories and restricting activities. However, consumption rebounded this year with the economic recovery and a heat wave that led people to crank up their air conditioners. In addition, with Europe scrambling to secure alternative sources of energy as Russia wages war on Ukraine, U.S. providers have responded by sending vast amounts of liquefied natural gas overseas, limiting the amount being funneled into storage for the peak winter heating period. Gas production growth hasn't kept pace with demand. Since natural gas is the number one driver of electricity rates, the result has been a sticker shock, making for thorny decisions come contract renewal time. This article is entitled, Shell CEO Warns That World Energy Crisis May Persist, by Stephen Treloar, Bloomberg. European oil major Shell PLC cautioned that Europe may have to brace for a string of winters with exorbitant power bills and electricity rationing as Russia squeezes gas supplies. It may well be that we have a number of winters where we have to somehow find solutions through efficiency savings, through rationing, and a very, very quick build-out of alternatives. Chief Executive Officer Ben Van Beurden told reporters at a conference in Stanger, Norway, that this is going to be somehow easy or over, I think is a fantasy we should put aside. We should confront the reality. Europe is facing an energy crisis as Russia curbs gas flows following its invasion of Ukraine. That's fueling a six-fold increase in prices from a year ago. While German gas stores are filling up faster than expected, the country risks not being able to go through the winter if Moscow halts flows to the region's largest economy. The European Union said it's planning urgent steps to push down soaring power prices that are laying bare the limitations of the current electricity market design. Governments across the region have already set aside some 280 billion euros, $278 billion in relief packages. Last month, Shell's CEO said energy markets are likely to remain tight, with supply to be constrained and prices volatile, not only for the remainder of this year, but well into next year. This article is entitled, Oil Rises to Highest in a Month Amidst Global Energy Crunch, by Julia Fanzeres and Anthony DiPaola, Bloomberg. oil climbed to the highest since late July as fears of production outages in Libya that would exacerbate a global energy crunch. West Texas Intermediate futures rose 4.2% to settle above $97 a barrel on Monday. Although Libyan output has so far withstood clashes between militias in the capital, traders are watching for signs that the violence may halt oil shipments at a time when Europe's energy crisis is worsening. Iran, meanwhile, said negotiations with the U.S. over a European Union proposal to revive a nuclear deal will drag on into September, undercutting speculation that increased oil flows are imminent. The one trade that everyone can agree upon is that the oil market will likely remain tight, said Ed Moya, senior market analyst at Oanda. Crude is on course for a third straight monthly drop on concern global growth will slow as central banks tighten policy aggressively, hurting consumption. To counter that weakness, Saudi Arabia raised the possibility last week that the Organization of Petroleum Exporting Countries and its allies could cut output. The group will meet September 5th to consider October production and review the outlook for the rest of the year. Separately, loadings from an export terminal for Kazakhstan crude have seen interruptions. Cries of supply shortages continue to come from all corners, with Shell PLC's chief executive officer Ben Van Beurden telling a conference in Norway that it's a fantasy that the global energy crunch will be easy to rectify. Speaking at the same event, Tesla Inc. CEO Elon Musk said the world needs more oil and gas now, while also pushing to transition to renewable supplies. The EU is planning an emergency intervention to dampen the spike in power prices. As natural gas prices rally and trade five times higher than crude futures, it will be giving strong incentives for energy switching, said Francisco Blanch, head of Global Commodities and Derivatives Research at Bank of America Corporation, in a note to clients. This article is entitled, U.S. Homes Add Rooftop Solar at a Record Clip to Cut Power Bills, by Noreen S. Malik. Bloomberg. U.S. households will install a record amount of solar this year to help slash electricity bills, according to a Bloomberg NEF analysis. Residential solar installations will increase by about 5.6 gigawatts in 2022, led by Florida, Texas, the Midwest, and California, according to a BNEF report Monday. Higher electricity prices and tax credit extensions in the Inflation Reduction Act are fueling the rebound in residential solar adoption. Consumers are taking ownership of their own power supplies in pursuit of cleaner energy and to reduce their reliance on grids that are becoming more vulnerable to blackouts caused by extreme weather, wildfires, and drought. Despite supply chain challenges and higher costs, 2022 will be an absolute record year for residential solar in the U.S., BNEF analyst Paul Lescano wrote. Households will add three times more solar this year than commercial customers and will continue to take the lead through 2020, BNEF data show. This article is entitled, Musk, World Needs More Oil and Gas as Bridge to Renewables, by Tara Patel and Grant Smith, Bloomberg. The world needs more oil and gas now to deal with an energy shortage, while pushing to transition to renewable supplies, Tesla Inc. Chief Executive Officer Elon Musk said. At this time, we actually need more oil and gas, not less, Musk said Monday during an energy conference in Norway. Added that he's not someone to demonize the fossil fuels. At the same time, we must have a clear path to a sustainable energy future. Musk made his comments as Europe is grappling with its worst energy crisis in decades, with Russia lowering natural gas deliveries to the region and nuclear power plant outages in France further sapping supply. wholesale energy prices have soared to records in the past months. Europe's politicians have already earmarked about 280 billion euros, $278 billion, to ease the pain of surging costs for businesses and consumers. But the aid risks being dwarfed by the scale of the crisis. The European Union will call an emergency meeting of energy ministers to discuss block-wide solutions. This is the obituary column. Tuesday, August 30th. Alfred Boudreau. Alfred Joseph Boudreau passed away August 23rd, surrounded by his children. A memorial service will be held on Tuesday, August 30th at 1 o'clock at St. Anne's Catholic Church in Midland. Al was born December 28, 1941, in Abbeville, Louisiana, to Frank Louis and Leon Hubert Boudreau. Al is preceded in death by his parents, Frank and Leon Boudreau, his wife, Darlene Marie Boudreau, brother-in-law, Frank Boudreau, sister-in-law, Cheryl Boudreau. Al is survived by his children, Reese Louis Boudreau and wife, Allison, Pamela Margaret Stewart and husband, Billy, Tricia Elizabeth Elliott and husband Mike, and Billy Jack Boudreau and fiancée Tatiana, all of Midland. 8 grandchildren and 1 great-grandchild. In lieu of flowers, donations may be made to Interim Hospice, St. Anne's Catholic Church, or the charity of your choice. Arrangements are under the direction of Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Online condolences can be made at www.npwelch.com. Buddy Hale. On August 20th, Buddy Floyd Hale graduated wearing that unforgettable smile as he marched into heaven. He was born in Odessa on June 6, 1952, to Floyd Alexander Hale and Bonnie Ruth Walker. He is survived by his wife, Lita Lauterbach Hale of Odessa, sisters Margie Horn, Rick of Bedford, and Brenda Kasky, David of Odessa, his son Alex Hale and wife Heather, and their girls Olivia and Alexis, daughter Julie Beth Lauterbach Crosby and husband Brian, and their children, as well as many grandchildren. Recitation of the Rosary will be at 7 p.m. Sunday, September 4th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Mass will be celebrated at 2 p.m. Monday, September 5th, at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church. Arrangements are by Sunset Memorial Gardens. In lieu of flowers, the family asks you to consider donating to the ACTS Ministries at St. Elizabeth Ann Seton Catholic Church in Odessa. Dora Castillo. Dora Isadora Castillon Castillo, 84, of Midland, went home to be with our Lord and Savior August 27th. She was born October 29, 1937, to Quirino Castillon and Adela Davila Tarango of Midland. Dora is preceded in death by her loving husband, Jose M. Castillo, of 60 years, and daughter, Janie Valdez. Survivors include one son, Joe Castillo Jr., and his wife, Kathy, and 3 daughters, Rosa Sotelo and husband, Pete, Carol Subia and husband, Rudy, Tina De La Rosa and husband Marcos, all of Midland, as well as 12 grandchildren, 21 great-grandchildren, and 1 great-great-grandchild. She will lie in state Tuesday, August 30th, from 9 a.m. to 9 p.m. at Nally Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Funeral service will be 2 p.m. Wednesday, August 31st, at Nally Pickle and Welch Rosewood Chapel. Interment will follow at Mount Olive Cemetery. Online condolences may be made at www.npwelch.com. Renee Lujan. Renee Lujan, 50, of Midland, passed away on August 27th. Renee was born August 14, 1972, in Alpine, to Ruben and Benita Lujan. He married Claudia Jordan on September 22, 1992. Visitation will be Tuesday, August 30th from 1 to 8 p.m. with a rosary beginning at 7 p.m. at Willowbrook Funeral Home Chapel. Funeral Mass will be held at 10 a.m. on Wednesday, August 31st at San Miguel Archangel Catholic Church with Father Patrick Akpanobong officiating. Interment will follow at Serenity Memorial Gardens. To place online condolences, please visit www.willowbrk.com. Death Notices. Angelina Irene Helm. Angelina Irene Helm, 90, of Midland, passed away August 28th. The family will receive guests from 7 to 9 p.m. Thursday, September 1st at Nally Pickelin Welsh Funeral Home. Graveside service will be held at 11 a.m. Friday, September 2nd at Rest Haven Memorial Park. Online condolences may be offered at www.npwelch.com. Dorothy Dottie Louise Redden. Dorothy Dottie Louise Redden, age 94, passed away August 27th. Cremation services have been arranged. Funeral arrangements are entrusted to Avalos Sanchez and Thomas Funeral Home, and online condolences can be received at www.asanchezTFH.com.
Good morning, this is Kim, and I am reading the Odessa American. Today's date is Tuesday, August 30th. ECISD Police, the system worked. Friday's Permian scare led to room-by-room evacuation. In the wake of a 15-year-old Permian high school student trying to get into the school with a handgun Friday, police are saying the systems implemented post-Uvalde worked well. At this time, the male student has been charged with places, weapons prohibited, which is a state felony. Ector County ISD Chief Communications Officer Mike Adkins said via email. Adkins said it is unknown whether he was a gang member, which was reported on Friday. He added that the investigation by ECISD police is ongoing and determining the motivation is part of the investigation. An Odessa Police Department alert detailed that a call went out at 3:30 p.m. Friday that there was a man with a gun attempting to get into Permian High School. The alert detailed that this prompted a large police presence at the school by various law enforcement agencies. The student was found in possession of a firearm, and there were no reported injuries or damage. A briefing on Friday indicated the gun was a 9mm. That briefing also indicated the student has recently been released from the Texas Youth Camp facility. In this case, Atkins said, students and staff reported seeing the student with a weapon directly to school leaders and officers on campus. The Student Crime Stoppers tip line is available every day in many different ways: phone, text, social media, and all Crime Stoppers tips remain anonymous. According to a message sent to parents, law enforcement released students room by room, asked whether the boy was expelled. Adkins provided a definition from the Student Code of Conduct. The length of an expulsion shall be based on the seriousness of the offense, the student's age and grade level, the frequency of misbehavior, and statutory requirements. The duration of a student's expulsion shall be determined on a case-by-case basis. The definition Adkins provided said, the maximum period of expulsion is one calendar year, except as provided below. An expulsion may not exceed 1 year unless, after review, the district determines that the student is a threat to the safety of other students or to district employees, or extended expulsion is in the best interest of the student. State and federal law require a student to be expelled from the regular classroom for a period of at least one calendar year for bringing a firearm, as defined by federal law, to school. However, the superintendent may modify the length of the expulsion on a case-by-case basis. Students who commit offenses that require expulsion at the end of one school year may be expelled into the next school year to complete the term of expulsion, the definition said. ECISD Police Chief Todd Heiner said the district has long been training for incidents like the one Friday. I will tell you that before they were regulated and mandated, we have had lockdown drills and trainings broadcast throughout the district. You know, as long as I can remember, at least for the last 15 years. Then what happened was that they standardized the training through the school safety center, and then with a standard training that should be broadcast throughout all the schools. But we've actually had standard response protocols within ECISD for the last 15 years from our previous chiefs, Heiner said. Heiner added that he thought handling of the incident went very, very well. The moment that administrators on the campus learned of a student with a gun on the campus, they called the lockdown. It went into lockdown immediately. So then, of course, we were there. We responded and apprehended the person with the gun, Heiner said. So with a lockdown, I have to always think that someone that's going to bring a gun into school doesn't have good intentions, period. We don't really know. We're still kind of investigating what his intentions were. But I automatically think someone that comes into school with a gun doesn't have good intentions. Fortunately, police officers were boots on the ground right after the lockdown was implemented, and the officer identified that person, got into the foot chase, and we apprehended that person within, minutes after this. So the rest of the campus did really well, Heiner said. Currently, Heiner said, a lieutenant is in the process of doing an after-action review, which is an audit, basically, of our processes and of the processes on the campus and the external processes of the responding law enforcement to kind of assess and try to determine anything that we can improve with. But an overall bird's eye view of this and the response was very, very solid. I've always been in touch with the law enforcement agencies to maybe set up a debrief with that agency to talk about things to improve regarding any communication that we had. But as far as the response itself, it was very, very thorough. The school was flooded with police, Heiner said. He added that the message he'd like to send is that ECISD police have plans in place to ensure student safety. Those plans are assessed. Those plans are assessed multiple times per year, and ECISD has invested in that training, invested in that structure, and ECISD has also invested in its own police department, and we are serious. We are seriously committed about keeping the campuses safe. We will greet those threats straightforward, Heiner said. Speaking in general, Heiner said, most of the time when we pull the kids in and we talk to them, they have a right to talk to us, and they have a right not to talk to us, and most of the time when they're involved in that criminal element, they choose not to talk to us, and we have to acknowledge that right. Their right is not indiscriminate. Murder trial begins in Odessa. Ector County jurors Monday heard opening statements in the murder trial of an Odessa man accused of shooting another man to death 4 years ago this month. Assistant Ector County District Attorney William Prasher told jurors that on August 15, 2018, John Jimenez, 42, was unloading furniture with Jimmy White at White's house when Jose Alexander Carrera, 24, showed up with an unknown man, walked up to Jimenez, and shot him in the chest at close range. Prasher said the unknown man shot White twice and continued to shoot at him while White squeezed through a fence and collapsed behind it. The prosecutor warned jurors that Jimenez nor White were not the best people. Defense attorney Philip Wildman reserved his opening statement for a later point in the trial. According to Odessa American Archives, Carrera's arrest affidavit indicates Jimenez and Carrera may have been involved with the same woman. Amy Robinson is listed on the state's list of potential witnesses. Prasher is trying the case with Assistant Ector County District Attorney Carmen Villalobos and retired Ector County District Court Judge Jay Gibson, is presiding over the trial. Sunday's storm. No injuries reported during Sunday's storm. Despite the collapse of two roofs, two dozen stalled vehicles, and multiple downed power lines, Odessa Fire Rescue Battalion Chief Bobby White said no injuries were reported during Sunday night's storm. A residential roof and a commercial building roof collapsed on East 6th Street and Railroad Street, White said. National Weather Service meteorologist David Hennig said the east side of Odessa received roughly half an inch of rain Sunday night, but due to a power outage at the height of Sunday's storm, the NWS was unable to record how much rain fell at Odessa Schlemmer Field Airport, Hennig said. Midland International Air and Spaceport received 0.07 inches of rain, and Andrews recorded 0.38 inches, he said. If you like rain, we're kind of looking good, Hennig said Monday morning. We've got a cold front coming through, and that, along with an upper-level trough, is increasing our rain chances today, tonight, and tomorrow. Hennig put the chance of rain at 70% to 80%, with some areas expecting to receive a half inch to three quarters of an inch. A flash flood watch will be issued this afternoon through Tuesday, Hennig said. Today's high temperature should reach 93 degrees, but will be in the lows to mid-60s overnight and in the low 80s during the day the rest of the week, he said. PHS vocalist takes top honor. Although she has been steeped in music her whole life, Permian High School senior Kendra Burton was still surprised by earning the honor of Outstanding Vocal Performer at the Texas State Solo and Ensemble Contest. Aiden Armendariz, a sophomore at PHS this year, who plays double bass, also won the Outstanding Performer Award. Burton is the daughter of Stephanie Burton, PHS Associate Choir Director. Kendra Burton is in Cantori, the top mixed ensemble, Black Magic, Permian's pop ensemble, Senate Executive Board Secretary and National Honors Society Treasurer. She is going into her third year with Cantori and Black Magic. Burton, a 17-year-old senior, had a voice teacher at Texas Tech University who told her all her students received the Outstanding Soloist Award and Burton would be the next. Burton was a little skeptical. Of the 100,000 students participating in the regional UIL music contests and 10,000 of musicians who performed at TSSEC, only 1% to 2% of the solo performers earned the distinguished honor of Outstanding Performer, a news release said. It was a little bit of a surprise, since I thought it was just a prestigious out-of-reach award. I didn't think it was necessarily within my reach, Burton said. When it sank in, Burton said, she was excited and honored. She added that it was another thing she could put on her resume that would make her more competitive when she auditions for vocal performance at schools of music at college. Having as many things on your resume makes you look cooler and more legit, I would say, Burton said. She added that she has sung all her life, but started choir in eighth grade. She sang in the church and elementary choir growing up, but also joined band as an oboist. I didn't really enjoy it as much. There was a lot of practicing to it, and so then once I came here to high school, I didn't really enjoy marching season necessarily, so that's when I was done with choir, Burton said. She did sing in choir in eighth grade when she had the option to take more than one elective. Burton went to Nimitz for 1 year after moving to Odessa from Keller in the Fort Worth area. Being in band helped her pick up sight reading and reading music more easily. Burton said she wants to pursue music in college. Right now, the plan is to major in vocal performance and then move on to get my master's in vocal pedagogy, which is kind of the study of how the voice works. And then with that, obviously performing and then being a voice teacher, like a one-on-one private teacher, and then maybe even get my doctorate degree and teach collegiately, Burton said. She said having her mother as one of her choir directors has been fun. We have a good balance on knowing when to be professional, and it's nice to have a mom here at school and on campus just to have that comfort. But I think we work pretty well together and maintain professionalism, Kendra Burton said. She added that the Permian Choir program feels like it prepares students well for all state and solo and ensemble competitions. Those competitions are really important to me just to grow me as a musician, and like I said, more titles and awards to put on my resume for college, Burton said. She added that she feels singing is her God-given talent. Burton attends Stonegate, Odessa. I just want to use my gifts for everyone and to glorify God, Burton said. She also met Armin Derez the day before at the school board meeting when they were both recognized. Burton thought it was cool that he got to represent the orchestra. I think it's really cool how not just the choir program is thriving here at Permian, that our band program, our orchestra, we all thrive, and it's cool to just all be musicians together, Burton said. As a mother, Stephanie Burton said she is extremely proud of Kendra. As a choir director, definitely proud at her determination and how hard she works. Yes, it is a God-given talent, and we're so grateful for that. But there are a lot of students that have a born talent that just kind of squander it because they just don't work hard. She's just such a hard worker, and being her mom, I also know that she's practicing all the time because I hear in her room, I just think back to my high school days, and I did not practice that much, and I wish I had. I would probably have gone much further, as she is doing, and so just a lot of grit and determination, and that's just making me so proud, Stephanie Burton said. Director of Choirs Lori Alfred Wash said it is such an honor to have a student with that much drive in the program. She is an example. She is a great student in rehearsals. She looks ahead, and she's attentive to others' needs, not only her own. It is a pleasure to have her here, Wash said. Wash replaces Kenneth Seeloff, who had directed the choirs Burton was in up until this year. Change is hard, but this year I'm just trying to come in with a good mindset of change doesn't mean bad, and just take every experience, every new thing, just as a new experience, because in life, we're going to be put in front of, especially when I go to college, you're going to be put in front of so many different directors that you may not necessarily prefer or like, but you just do. You do what you love, and you sing, and you respect, and you just go with the flow with a good attitude about it, Burton said. The top three colleges on Kendra's list are Baylor, Texas Christian, and Texas Tech Universities. Quick hits. Coffee with a Deputy. The Ector County Sheriff's Office has scheduled Coffee with a Deputy from 6 a.m. to 9 a.m. today at the Country Cafe, 10161 West University Boulevard. Visit tinyurl.com/4b94y5kn. Meeting. LULAC Hispanic Heritage of Odessa has scheduled its annual setup meeting from 11:30 a.m. to 1 p.m. today at Mojito's Restaurant behind the MCM Mall, 4101 East 42nd Street, Suite 105. Agendas include calendar of events and awards. For more information, call Carol Oronga at 432-349-9840, Liliana Marquez at 432-894-8128, or Jesse Porras at 432-770-9423. Free blood pressure and glucose screenings. The Medical Center Hospital Family Health Clinic West University, 6030 West University Boulevard, has scheduled a free blood pressure and glucose screening from 3 p.m. to 5 p.m. each Tuesday through December 27th. In addition, party in the parking lot will take place from 4 p.m. to 7 p.m. September 13th. Visit tinyurl.com/2YVKB55C. McLaren Festival 2.0 Auditions. Midland Community Theater, 2000 West Wadley, Midland, has scheduled McLaren Festival 2.0 Auditions at 6:30 p.m. today and 9 p.m. August 31st. Join a company of players that present 3 one-hour-long scripts in Reader's Theater format. The McLaren Festival will be September 17th. Visit tinyurl.com/y558ETTS. Chorale Auditions. The West Texas Symphony, 3100 La Force Boulevard, Midland, has scheduled chorale auditions for the 2022-2023 season today. Auditions will take place in person by appointment. Membership in the chorale is open to all singers in high school and older. Students in high school must have either a letter of recommendation from their head music director presented at the time of the audition, or have one director as a member of the chorale for his or her student to participate. For questions, call 432-563-0921 or email chorale@mosc.org or visit tinyurl.com/3p47xzkt. Odessan accused of breaking child's elbow. An Odessa man was arrested Friday night after a woman accused him of breaking a 3-year-old's elbow. According to an Odessa Police Department report, a woman walked into the police station around 5 p.m. Friday and told an officer the 3-year-old had been misbehaving and acting disrespectful toward her, and when Christopher Scott Goodwin got to her apartment on South Grant Avenue, he took the child into the kitchen to discipline her. The woman heard the child shout, "Ow, Chris, you're hurting me," and she learned the child had sustained a fractured left elbow, the report stated. The child was taken to Harmony Home Child Advocacy Center, and she told a forensic examiner Goodwin grabbed her arm, twisted it, and pushed her into the corner, the report stated. Goodwin was arrested on suspicion of injury to a child, a state jail felony punishable by 6 months to 2 years in prison. Goodwin remains in the Ector County Jail Monday on a $20,000 surety bond. Woman arrested year after alleged assault. An Odessa woman was arrested Friday, nearly 1 year after her stepfather accused her of slicing him with a knife. According to an Odessa Police Department report, officers received a disturbance call from the 1400 block of East 17th Street on September 2, 2021. When officers arrived, Tia Gregg, 32, told them her 60-year-old stepfather had grabbed her in an aggressive manner, and she grabbed a kitchen knife to protect herself and cut his shirt and his stomach in the process. Her stepfather, however, told officers Gregg put her left hand in his face, and when he grabbed it to move it, she pulled a knife from behind her back, cut the sleeve of his shirt, and poked him in the stomach with the knife, the report stated. Officers found a small red incision on the man's stomach, according to the report. Gregg was arrested on suspicion of aggravated assault with a deadly weapon, a second-degree felony, punishable by 2 to 20 years in prison. She remains in the Ector County Jail on a $100,000 surety bond in that case and on a $16,000 surety bond in a separate credit card abuse case. Whataburger kicks off Hunger Action Month Drive. Whataburger is excited to partner with the West Texas Food Bank to help kick off Hunger Action Month and to drive awareness about hunger in the Permian Basin. Whataburger is hosting a donation drive at all 8 locations across the Permian Basin through September 19th. All donations will go to the West Texas Food Bank for their Food to Kids programs as part of Whataburger's Feeding Student Success Initiative. For every $1 a customer donates at your local Whataburger, the customer will receive a thank you coupon for a free Whataburger with purchase of a medium fry and medium drink, all to benefit the West Texas Food Bank. Every dollar donated will stay right here in the Permian Basin to help our community and school-aged children, a news release said. Last year, Whataburger customers helped raise more than $21,000 to help local children across the Permian Basin. You can stop by any Whataburger location in Midland, Odessa, or Big Spring to donate. JBS to feature best-selling author. Robert M. Edsel, best-selling author of The Monuments Men, is coming to Odessa for a free community lecture hosted by the Shepherd Leadership Institute. The free event is set for 7 p.m. September 27th at the Wagner Noel Performing Arts Center. The Monuments Men is the dramatic true story of a small group of unlikely heroes and their race against time to save the world's most treasured art and cultural treasures from the destruction of World War II and theft by the Nazis. The book, the award-winning movie based on it, have led Robert M. Edsel to be an international thought leader and renowned advocate of protecting cultural works and restoring fine art to its rightful owners. The Distinguished Lecture Series is a hallmark program of the Shepherd Leadership Institute at UT Permian Basin. Today's obituary and death notice for Tuesday, August 30th. Paul David Hurt of Odessa died Saturday, August 27th at the age of 69. Graveside services will be held at Sunset Memorial Gardens on Wednesday, August 31st at 10 o'clock a.m. Paul was born June 3, 1953, to Jean and Elizabeth Hurt and was an only child. Paul is survived by his wife, Carrie Renee of Odessa, three sons, Ryan Wyatt Hurt of Odessa, Chris Hurt and wife Shonda of Frisco, and Steve Hurt, and several grandchildren and great-grandchildren. Arrangements are entrusted to Sunset Memorial Gardens and Funeral Home. To send condolences to the family, please sign his guestbook at www.sunsetodessa.com. Danny Randolph Black, 66, of Odessa, died Friday, August 26, in Odessa. Celebration of Life is scheduled for 2 p.m. September 1st at Acres West Funeral Chapel. Pastor Clydell Chapman is officiating. Arrangements are by Acres West Funeral Chapel of Odessa. Angelina Irene Helm, 90, of Midland, died Sunday, August 28th in Midland. Graveside service is scheduled for 11 a.m. September 2nd at Rest Haven Memorial Park in Midland. The family will receive guests from 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Thursday, September 1st at Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home. Arrangements are by Nellie Pickle and Welch Funeral Home and Crematory of Midland.
We've been reading from the Midland Reporter-Telegram and the Odessa American. Please stay tuned for the weather, followed by the second hour's reading of the newspapers.